For those who may not know, my name is Mike Gochnauer, and I am blessed to be the pastor here at Acts 2 Church. And if anything, I'm reminded that, you know, when Jesus traveled around and spoke to people, it wasn't always perfect. Like, you know, there's mistakes. You know, that probably was something Jesus might have knew was coming, but everybody else in the room probably didn't. And so, yeah, Emmy, you probably didn't think that that was coming, but there you are anyway, girl. And we are excited that you're here. So for those that that might be joining us for the first time today or second time, let me just give a little bit of a synopsis. We are on the final week of our series called Together. The first few weeks, we talked about really how we experience things better together. In the first week, we talked about how together we can find peace. The second week, we talked about how together we experience love. Last week, we talked about how together we grow stronger. This week, I'm excited to talk about how together we can change the world. Before we get into today's message, though, just let's take a moment to pray for the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us this morning. Father God, we just come before you and give thanks. We give thanks for this opportunity to come together and worship and praise you, despite how things may not go how we planned. Father, we're thankful for the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that you give us freely, even though we don't deserve it. So, Father, this morning, we just ask for the Holy Spirit to stir within us. Take the truth, take the scripture that we speak about this morning and just embed it into our heart. How God, your message to us today is spurring us to action, spurring us to a new direction. And God, we just ask for our eyes and our hearts to be open to that message today. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus, and we pray all these things in his holy name. Amen. So this morning, I want to start out with a question. I love that we have a student with us today because, man, you are going to shout out some good ones, I'm sure. But let's start out with a question. Who is your favorite superhero? Go ahead and just shout them out. Batman, okay. All right, so all the old people are sitting on this side, apparently. Okay, Wonder Woman, all right. The Hulk, okay, good. Any others? Like, what are some of the favorites out there? Ant-Man, all right, and Captain America. I was waiting for that one. Kind of surprised it took so long, honestly. Yes, there are so many great superheroes, and we are living in an age where we've got these multi-billion dollar industry right now benefiting off these superheroes. Benefiting off of what it is they represent. You know, I ask the question because, you know, as we get into today's message, we're going to see some things that hopefully will tie this in. But, you know, I ask the question because right now everybody loves superheroes. You know, some of my favorites that weren't mentioned are Spider-Man. You know, somebody mentioned Captain America is one of my favorites. But one I'm really surprised that nobody said was Groot. How come nobody said Groot? Yes, see, I needed Elijah here with me for support this morning. Thank you. Groot, he communicates so simply. I love it. But these are some of my favorites, and the reason why right now everybody is embracing superheroes, and it's something that is going so well in the Hollywood industry, is really they embody our youthful imagination. They embody, you know, this fight against evil. They embody the fight against injustices, and ultimately every time we see them, they're saving the world. It's incredible to watch. It's entertaining. Who wouldn't want to walk out these doors and have an awesome superpower? You know, I listened to a sermon once where it was an Air Force chaplain, and he gets up on stage and he's talking about something kind of similar with superheroes, and he says, you know, what are some of your favorite superpowers that you might want? You know, that's one of those would you rather kind of questions or games. And, you know, he said, you know, some people, like, he's heard this before, but some people would say that they would like to shoot, like, spaghetti noodles out of their fingertips. Like, how weird. But, I mean, you know, I guess that could be beneficial somewhere. Maybe when you're hungry. You know, but this idea of superpowers and superheroes, you know, I started thinking about Groot being one of my favorites, and I thought about, well, you know, maybe not only having a great superpower to use to save the world, but if you're a part of the Guardians of the Galaxy, you have the best soundtrack to save the world too as well, right? And so I thought about these things, and then I saw a movie trailer for another movie coming up. Movie is starring Tom Hanks. Some of you might know the movie I'm talking about, but it's all about Mr. Rogers. Yes, and I loved how God corrected me in that moment. As I'm reflecting on these superheroes and my favorites and things, it was a moment where, you know, God was telling me the world needs to see more Mr. Rogers. You see, the thing is Mr. Rogers probably isn't going to win the head-to-head battle of, you know, who's the best looking or who might be, you know, just have the raw strength, you know, in comparison to the superheroes. But one thing Mr. Rogers has going for him is he was a real dude. He was a real man and not make-believe. He was a real man in a real world. You see, as I started thinking about my favorite superheroes again, you know, I was one of my favorite Marvel movies, Captain America Civil War, came to mind. And what we saw in that movie was that superheroes also reek of pride and arrogance. You know, yeah, they go out and do mighty things and save the world, but if we really, really inspect their character, there's a lot of pride and arrogance. Mr. Rogers, as I saw in the movie trailer, was very quiet, very humble. Someone who taught kids about how special they are, no matter where they are or where they come from. Mr. Rogers, I don't know if you knew this, but as I started digging into his life a little bit, I found out he was actually an ordained pastor. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but that was incredible to me. You know, because he didn't have to stand up on a stage and preach to people. Instead, he just loved kids wherever they were. You know, and he saw a need. He was looking around at the entertainment industry and saw that kids needed something different in their lives. And that's what spurred him to want to create the show. That he was seeing the things that kids were allowing into their mind, allowing through their eyeballs, and he saw a need for something more meaningful. And so he went out to start the show, Mr. Rogers. And as I found out, as I learned that he was an ordained pastor, and as he reflected more and more about what his show emulated, what he was doing is he was displaying principles. He was displaying characteristics. And he was really emulating Christ-like behavior. And that's where I fell back on that moment. The world needs more people like Mr. Rogers. You know, he's not somebody that, you know, if you ever start reflecting on who your favorite superheroes are, would even be in the conversation or even be a thought. But in reality, He made an impact on a real world. And that's where the church, that's where we as the body of Christ can learn a lot from Mr. Rogers. Learn a lot from someone that sought out to create a space that welcomed, create a space that loved people, create a space that encouraged them, create a space that dreamt with them, create a space that listens to them, created a space where he was journeying life with other real humans. In that manner, that's how Mr. Rogers changed the world. And so this is how we too can learn from a real human, a real life superhero, and go about our mission of changing the world, changing the communities in which we live, changing the areas in which we work, changing the people that we encounter daily. And ultimately, those small steps are going to change the world as a whole. When I saw that trailer, it was almost kind of like a smack in the face. You know, it was like a gut punch of reality in that moment, that we don't need superheroes. We don't need the ability to shoot lightning bolts or anything out of our fingertips, or fly, or have x-ray vision or laser eyes or any of that stuff in order to change the world. We do not need those things, but simply making consistent choices to follow Christ daily, walk through life journeying with others, and emulating these Christ-like behaviors, inviting neighbors, co-workers to journey life with us. As we get back to our roadmap for the series, we've been walking through the book of Ephesians. As we get back to our roadmap for this series, we're going to explore some of the ways that Paul tells us how we can make these simple choices, how we can make these on a consistent basis and do exactly that, change the world. And so today, as we continue our series of Together, and as we jump into today's particular message of how we together can change the world, our key passage is going to come from Ephesians 4, starting in verse 32, and we're going to go through chapter 5, verse 2. Today I'm going to read out of the NLT translation, just because I want it to be crystal clear what Paul's trying to tell us today. It says this: be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything that you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. As I read through that scripture, I was reminded of the journey that I've been on for the last 10 months. You know, I've been with... Hold on just a second here. I'm going to make a slight adjustment. I'm getting really loud. Okay, so I started reflecting on this journey since I've started with just doing life with all of you guys. I started this year off with a series where I was talking about my one word for 2019. My one word for 2019 was dream. I wanted us to dream so big that we were dreaming God-sized dreams for not only our lives, but for our church and our community. Things that were so big that there's no other answer than God being behind the process, or God being behind the achievement. You know, I haven't necessarily talked a whole lot about this word over the last few months, but believe me, it's something that's still been driving me. It's something that's still been a part of my daily life. A couple things come to mind as I reflect back on this time, and and reflect back on how God has actually been achieving some big God-sized dreams in my life and within our church. You know, the one of my dreams was to come back to a healthier state of being, a healthier body, a healthier lifestyle. And, you know, I'm proud to say that for the first time in years, you know, I'm diabetic, for those that don't know. For the first time in years, my blood sugar is where it's supposed to be. And it's a journey that is continuing on. That is only, I can only say that it's because of God working through people around us that that was able to happen. Another God-sized dream for myself and for my family is that Aaron and I, we become parents. That is something that we've been dreaming for well over 10 years. This past week, many of you know that are part of our small groups or whatever the case, many of you know that we attended an adoption meeting this past week. And that is a journey that, you know, I want to be open about. It was just an informational meeting. It was a moment where, you know, even just sitting within the meeting, there were some kind of discouraging moments. But the fact that we were there was a God-sized dream for our lives and the beginning of a journey. And I want to be able to share the entire journey with all of you and be open about it so I can share about how God is working through the process. You know, ultimately, God's got his own timing. You know, whenever it's in God's will to place a child into our arms, that's going to happen. And we believe in it and we trust in it. That doesn't mean that along the journey we won't encounter moments of discouragement or moments where, you know, we feel the attack from the enemy, you know, telling us that it's never going to happen or telling us that that there's some other roadblock. But as we left, I was rejoicing in my heart because that was something, just simply being there was an accomplishment. It was the beginning of the process. And it's only because God was behind it and working through people around us again to place us right then and there. Now, we've ramped up our social media presence quite a bit over the last couple months, and we've got great people that are behind that, and Kim is doing an amazing job with our social media, and we are incredibly thankful for that. And one thing that we, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but one thing that that we've started doing quite a bit of is using some hashtags. Well, in the realm of algorithms and all these other things that, you know, I'm thankful I don't have to try to wrap my head around. These things have become kind of important. And one hashtag that that we've begun using, and actually we've been throwing in here and there every now and then, is hashtag small acts big love. And when I think about this, there's a lot of meaning behind it. Small acts, big love. The reason why that has become a meaningful hashtag for us is a couple reasons. A small act can display a big love. Taking out the trash for a neighbor. Maybe helping them out of the grocery store. Or maybe paying for the car behind you in the drive-through line at the Starbucks or Scooter. It's a small act, but it displays a big love. That's one reason. The second reason why this has become something very important to me anyway, is look around. We are a small act. But together we can change the world. That is a big love. so as I thought about this hashtag, as I started going through this, I was reminded, you know, because often I often get a lot of communication, and as I was working through this hashtag, I was reminded of something that was asked of me to put together again for our social media. But the question was, could you provide me a list of things that we support as a church, things that we are involved with, things that missions that we support? So I started going back and looking through our financials and looking through our budgets and things like that. And I was blown away by how many missions we support. We support them primarily financially. And we want to start moving into supporting them quite a bit through service as well. Because they are all in the same boat where they rely on volunteers quite a bit as well. But I put together a list. And I want to share that list with you because I don't know if even if our regular attenders would know all of them. And so I want to share that list with you today. The first one is, of course, Gretna Campus Life. Campus Life, their mission is to be an introduction to teenagers. From middle school to high school, be an introduction to who Jesus is and help get them connected to churches. There's a high school group that meets on Monday nights right here in this room where they have between 60 and 80 teenagers that come into this same room that you guys are sitting in right now to have fun, play games. And the adults that are in charge of that serve within that ministry, their goal is to introduce these kids to Jesus. It's an incredible ministry. We give a percentage of our offering to that club because we see the value in what's happening. Now, if you look around, I don't think that there's any teenagers that actually attend Acts 2. That go to that club, but it's not about that. It's about pointing people to Jesus. And that's why we support it, because that's what the goal of the organization is. Next one is the Gretna Food Pantry. We would do a food drive, and I don't know if it was a couple times a year, but we would collect canned goods and deliver them to the food pantry. That's something that is helping those in need. I'm pretty sure that Scripture talks about that. Small act, big love. The next one, and just yesterday was one that we had some volunteers supporting, is the Dragon's Closet here in Gretna. The Dragon's Closet is an organization that does some great things, and it's a fairly young organization. So I'm thankful that we're able to partner up with something that's fairly new and getting started. But right now we are actually collecting cold weather gear, coats, hats, mittens, gloves, snow pants, boots, these sort of things we're collecting so they can give it to the people in our community that otherwise wouldn't have. You know, we know that Nebraska winters are, you know, kind of a toss-up, but there's usually a couple weeks during the year where we see some pretty frigid cold temperatures. And man, like, what a blessing it is to be able to provide someone with a pair of boots to keep their feet warm. We like their pinky toes, even though if they don't serve a purpose. Let's allow them to keep them. Another organization is the Assure Women's Center. This organization is one that provides counseling to young women and women of any age, really, in pregnancy. That might be their goal is to abolish abortion. Like, they want to counsel women and potentially couples on why it's important to carry that baby to term. They help them with providing information on adoption if they don't feel like they're capable of being parents. But Assure Women's Center is a place that wants to share Christ through through that kind of counseling to someone that might be feeling alone or feeling like they're facing a pretty difficult situation with being pregnant. The next one is mentioned in our announcements, the Good News Prison and Jail Ministry. What I love about this organization is they are taking the gospel to people that have been judged already by the system. They have made their way into jail because of consequences of actions, and they are incarcerated. You know, and it could be a life sentence. It could be a few years. You know, depending on the infraction. But the heart behind this ministry is that they need Jesus too. The heart behind their ministry is that that Jesus provides a hope, provides a redemption, provides a different way of doing life. And so there's a good possibility that a lot of the men and women that the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry speaks to, there's a good possibility that at someday they are going to be leaving prison. And they want to help guide them to when they are released, that they become someone that also is on mission to change the world for Christ. Another one here, and I'm going through the list way slower than what I planned on, but I'm just so jacked about what we do with these organizations. One that I'm personally involved with is the Rock Youth Center in Ashland. For those that don't know, I'm the director of the youth center. It's a community youth center, so it's not an extension of any one church or anything. But what we do in Ashland is very similar to what the goal of Campus Life is. We want to be a place where we introduce 6th to 12th grade students to Jesus. And love them no matter where they are. Love them no matter what they're enduring. Teach them about how priceless their life is. And hopefully through those relationships that we're building, it leads them to get plugged into a church, plugged into a community just like us, that is going to love them and journey life with them. The next one is Impact Campus Ministries in Salt Lake City, Utah. This is a ministry that's going in the heart of a community, of a city that is not one in believing in as Jesus as our Savior. Right here within the United States. Incredible. And then we've got a few international as well. We support Provi out of Guatemala. Many of you know Derek was somebody that attended, longtime attendee here at Acts 2 before God called him to go into Guatemala and minister to families there, minister to the villages, and help people set themselves up for a better life, and he helps provide that hope. Then there's also an orphanage in Guatemala that we help support, Prince of Peace. Man, Justin, how long have we been sending people down to Prince of Peace? Yeah, 3.5 years. Just a place where it's taking kids that that have no homes and taking them in and loving them, guiding them. Then a few weeks ago, we had someone come in, Dr. Tara Rye, who's actually going to be our speaker at our ladies' retreat in the spring. She's working with an organization called Global Friends. Global Friends is an international-focused group right here in Omaha. And their goal is to encounter foreign exchange students that are here at UNO or Creighton or, just the various schools around Omaha, and invite them into their homes, invite them into American homes to experience American culture. And this is, while they aren't they don't advertise themselves as a Christian organization, their goal is to still point those kids to Christ. But it's through building relationships first. Building those relationships, inviting them to the homes to where, you know, at some point those students are going to be like, why are you so nice to me? Man, let me tell you about this guy that teaches me to be nice to people. You know, and it leads to that invitation. Then one other organization that coming in the springtime that one of our Fifth Sunday offerings is going to go to is the Omaha, Nebraska House of Prayer. They call it One Hop. Their whole goal is to teach people about developing their prayer lives, to teach people about worship wherever they are, not just through music. We worship God through all of our actions, through the words that we speak, and that is their purpose. The gentleman in particular that's working with this organization came and spoke last spring at one of our men's evening. And he is just on fire to teach people about Jesus through worship. And it's incredible to partner with these guys, partner with all these men and women. You know, I should have counted. There's probably like 12 or 13 organizations here. And while we are small, you can see by partnering with these organizations, by partnering with people on mission for Christ, makes a big, big impact. It shows and displays a big love. And so reflecting back on Mr. Rogers, you know, I think he really embodied these verses. He embodied what it meant to be kind to each other. He embodied what it meant to be tender-hearted. He embodied what it meant to forgive each other. This week, it was a very, very much trending story. There was video of a sentencing of a female white police officer from Dallas being forgiven by a young man, African American man. I don't think he was much more than maybe 18 to 20, forgiving this police officer for what she did. It was a sentencing in a courtroom where the judge handed down a punishment that many, many, many are crying injustice about the punishment. She was given 10 years in prison for entering in an apartment that she thought was hers. It was not her apartment. And shooting a gentleman that was in the apartment that she thought was breaking in or was robbing her apartment. The young man, of course, was African-American, but it was his apartment. This video, you know, got me thinking quite a bit. It got me thinking about the choices that we make, and you know, Paul's talking about being kind and forgiving each other. And it got me thinking that, man, sometimes it's hard. You know, in reality, as we talk about it and as we look at Mr. Rogers, and as we think about, you know, the words that Paul is saying, it seems so simple. Be kind, be tender-hearted, be forgiving. It seems easy to say, but when we get into those situations, when we get into those moments where we can be kind, or when we can be tender-hearted, or we can be forgiving, sometimes we get stuck on what somebody did that affected us. We get stuck on ourselves. In this video of this young man, like I started tearing up when I watched it. You know, and I try my best to be a man's man. But I started tearing up because what a difficult situation. You know, what the video didn't show was the previous testimony of the young man's mom, you know, talking about how she didn't feel like the punishment fit the crime. I get it. I get and understand where she's coming from. As a mother, I could not imagine what that'd be like. The young man then, the brother, gets up, and you know, the sentencing's already been taken care of. Like, he has his story or what he has to say or what the family has to say really has no bearing on the sentence whatsoever. But it's just giving them an opportunity to speak to their whoever done wrong to them and their family. And this young man, he just goes on and talks about Jesus. He talks about how he prays for the woman to turn her life to Christ. And he said, "I forgive you." And then he asked the judge if he could go give her a hug. And in the video, you see her weeping and you hear her sobs. And you can just catch a kind of glimpse of the judge. You could see the judge was in tears. The judge actually eventually gave a Bible to this female former police officer as well. And I know that there's going to be some backlash, you know, of separation of church and state, and why are they talking about Jesus in the courtroom? And I understand that those things are going to happen. But even if one life was changed, even if maybe the female police officer, maybe her heart doesn't change. We don't know. Only God really knows. But maybe there was someone sitting in the back row that had never witnessed love like that before, had never witnessed a forgiveness like that before, had never heard about who Jesus is before. So even if one life was changed, you gotta trust that God has a plan much bigger than our own understanding. We've gotta trust that God wants us as individuals to see these examples and be inspired ourselves. You know, and it could be something as simple as forgiving the neighbor for not cleaning up their garbage off our lawn. Or the guy that walks their dog and lets it poop on our lawn. Or the meddling kids that won't stay off our lawn. Like, whatever it is. I think God's calling us. He's calling us by displaying and giving us examples. Be kind. Be tender-hearted. Be forgiving. This kindness, this forgiveness, this love, you know, sacrificing ourselves for the sake of those characteristics. I don't believe are some big thing that just happens. I believe it starts with small choices. I believe it starts with making a simple choice to do it once and letting it snowball in your life. letting it just consistently making these decisions to see what Paul is telling us here. Letting it snowball in our lives. We've walked through this series. Together we find peace. Find peace and comfort in sharing these wrongdoings and maybe working through them and talking through them and letting someone share an outside perspective on how, you know what, maybe we need to forgive that person because in the scheme of eternity, it's not really a big deal. Or maybe it does feel like a big deal, like the video of the young man forgiving this police officer. That was a big deal. He is never going to see his brother's body, earthly body, again in his time on earth. That is a big deal. So I was inspired. I was encouraged in the choice that he made. It was a big choice, and I don't believe that that young man, I don't believe that that was the first time that he expressed that kind of behavior, that he displayed those Christ-like tendencies. I believe that was something that he was taught growing up. I believe that that there was probably moments on playgrounds where somebody, you know, did something to him, and he had to forgive that person. And that snowballed in his life where he made that decision on the stand. We find that here at Acts 2, we want to be a safe place to dream God-sized dreams. We want to be a safe place that for our community, for lives of people to journey through these struggles together, to experience maybe a small thing or a big thing and just work through it within the people sitting around you for us to make a decision. Be kind, be tender-hearted, to be forgiving. It's going to start snowballing in our lives. We want to be a place where we find that support and encouragement from one another. Small, consistent choices that are going to lead to changing the world. To lead to changing the world of those that are around us, the people that we encounter, and ultimately our communities. That's going to spread. That's the whole idea that some of these organizations that I mentioned are getting behind, that if we just impact a few people, like Global Friends, for example, they want to come and encounter people that are going to finish their school and go back to their countries and make changes in their country, in the cities that they live, in the communities that they live. A lot of them might be deeply embedded into a completely different philosophy or religion. And they are hoping in their time here that they are showing the love of Christ to someone that is going to take that back to their home. It's no different of what we want to do as a church. We want to experience the love of Jesus right here within our small groups, within our service projects, within witnessing with the missions that we support. And we want to take that back to our homes, back to our communities, back to our workplaces. That is how together we are going to make a difference. We are going to impact the world. I've gone way too long. I've gone way off notes. But man, I look out and I see small acts. I look out and I see world changers. I look out and see people that have changed my world just within the last 10 months. I look out and see people that it's see people that are going to make a big impact on what we're trying to do right here through Acts 2 Church. I look out and I see some empty chairs. Those chairs are reserved for your family, reserved for your friends, reserved for your coworkers, reserved for your neighbors. There was a statistic that that I ran across that 80% of people that don't go to churches said that they would go to church if they just got an invitation. I look out, and I see people ready to invite that 80%. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you and give thanks. We give thanks for an opportunity to just come together and journey through life. Come together and learn more about you. God, just experience your love through your children. God, you are so good all the time. Even in moments when we don't fully understand what might be going on, when we don't understand what you are ultimately doing. God, let us just trust in you. Let us trust that you have something greater in mind than what we can understand. God, let us embrace that you want to use each and every one of us through small decisions to be kind, to be tender-hearted, to be forgiving. Let that snowball in our lives. Let that snowball in our Monday through Saturdays. Let that snowball where somebody says, why is it that you are so nice to me? And God, let that door open to say, you know, let me tell you about a guy. Teaches me exactly what it means to be kind, and tender-hearted, and forgiving. His name is Jesus. I would love for you to come experience him with me at my church at Acts 2. I would love for you to come learn more about him as I grow deeper in my knowledge of him in my small group. I would love for you to come join us as we go out and serve our community. Let those words roll off our tongue. Let that be the heart of what we are doing. Let us learn from you in that way, Lord. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. It's because of his sacrifice that we have an opportunity to spend eternity with you in heaven. God, that sacrifice, that death and resurrection, create a snowball effect. Has changed the world, has changed my world, changed everybody who believes. So, Father, let that change inspire invitation. We were all invited once. At some point or another, we were invited to know you and your son, Jesus. So God, use us, present us opportunities, open our eyes, even today, starting today, to extend that same invitation that once was extended to us. God, it's together on your mission that we can change the world. Father, we pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' holy name. Amen.